morning, everybody. And good morning if you're listening to this at home subsequently. My pockets don't really work. Oh, Andrew has now arrived, so we can hand over to him and he'll tell you who I am and what I'm here for.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning. I'm going to start off with the intimations and still leave the man here as a mystery. The intimations, to begin with, the standard safety procedure that if in the unlikely event of an alarm, you proceed by the exits there and there and get out as quickly as one, safely as one can. Again, an intimation that is a regular for us. At the end of the service, we can continue our fellowship together by means of tea and coffee. I've got to add something to this intimation because it's something that has intrigued me. Apparently, today's date, we are very privileged because we are, in fact, it's not a case of unlikely, we will not experience a date like this again. It is a palindromic date. 02/02/2020. And it's a once in a lifetime experience. So you can try and figure out when all the other ones were. I can give you one. 01/01/10/10 is another one. So it's a very special day. And not only that, it's the day for a retiring offering, so it's even more special. There's a joint Kirk session meeting a week on Wednesday the 12th of February, and it will be held here in Livingston Church at 7 p.m. The Sunday night prayer at the manse is temporarily suspended, so it's postponed until further notice. The Guild, the speaker on February the 4th, will be Jean Todd, who will speak on the subject, Growing Up with Granny. The Church Magazine, articles for the Church Magazine are now due, and you can hand them in or send them to Alan at magazine at livingstonchurch.org.uk by the 16th. But they are now due, and I'm sure he'd be delighted to see them pouring in. Right, that's confirmed. Pastoral cover, in Dave's absence, any pastoral matters that require cover will be referred to Reverend Scott Cameron. The telephone number is there. And now, I've got something else to say, but I want to introduce the mystery guest, first of all. taking the service this morning will be Reverend Robert Travers, and welcome him to Livingston. We are delighted to have you here this morning, Robert. And before I hand over, I want to explain the bits of paper that I hope you are all clutching. There's a group within the church who have been attending the priority areas meetings that have been held over the last 2 years. And one of the very important aspects that have come out of these priority areas meeting is the need for prayer. And what we've tried to do is we've tried to create a prayer framework. And the way this prayer framework at the moment is structured, and I want to say that its focus is Stevenson. So when you go through the whole set, you'll see that a considerable number of the prayers I directed in one way or another at Stevenson, at the churches, at the schools, and for needs within the town. At the moment, there are 10 themes in the prayer framework, and each of the themes lasts for 5 weeks, and there's a prayer prompt for every day of the week. Now, I used to be able to do arithmetic, and 5 tens only gives you 50 weeks. But there are 2 separate weeks dedicated one to Easter and one to Christmas, which in due course we hope to issue. So that is why you have two sheets of paper, and please, I would pray that you use them. Thank you very much. And now I'll hand over to Robert.
Thanks, Andrew, for your fulsome introduction. Well, I hope my failing eyesight, I'm actually going to stand over here because I'm a dinosaur. You will realize the dinosaurs are not extinct. That instead of having little screens and big screens and whatnot, I've got a wad of paper. But I'm delighted to see you here. And although it wasn't where I expected to be, because we're linked congregations, we don't actually know anything that goes on in the other one. So I didn't know the ceiling was down and the church was closed. So there we are. So it's good to circulate around and see these things. And now we reflect as we prepare for this act of worship. When we seek justice for the other, when we love kindness more than ever, we live as God asks us to live. When we walk humbly through life, when we offer mercy to those who hurt us, we are the blessing God hopes we will be. When we are willing to look foolish by following Jesus, when we choose weakness rather than power, we reflect the one who is in our midst. So let us worship this one who is in our midst and sing to his praise and his glory. In the first of our hymns, as the deer pants for the water.
After you
Now let's pray. God of surprises, startle us with truth we do not see. Amaze us with your power and grace. Beckon us and lead us far above restricted hope and narrow faith. And may your presence with us today assure us of your love and enrich our lives in ways we can never imagine. May we, in drawing close to you, draw close to one another, sharing the warmth of your welcome and the blessing you bring. May we respond to the challenges of faith with confident hope and assurance of peace in Christ. O God, we confess the blindness that is not even aware of sinning, the pride that dares not admit that it is wrong, the selfishness that can see nothing but its own will, the righteousness that knows no fault, the callousness that has ceased to care, the defiance that has no regret, the evasion that always tries to make excuses, the coldness of heart, too hardened to repent. God, be merciful to us. And Almighty God, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your failings. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Now all glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose words we further pray together and say, Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Daily bread. Temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we're going to sing, I danced in the morning when the world was begun. Now we'll worship God in our offerings. Be foolish enough to offer our gifts to you, generous God, for you to use them to bring justice to the oppressed, to bring laughter to those who mourn, and to offer wonder to the little children. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to bring our prayers of concern. Those things that weigh heavy on us. And you know what they are for you in the same way as I know what they are for me. And so we pray. Loving God, we give thanks for your goodness and love to us, for the joy of home and family, for companionship of friends and neighbours. But most especially we pray for wisdom among the nations, so that the right things are done to save the lives of innocent women and men and children trapped in unthinkable circumstances. In China, faced with disease and uncertainty, and in other countries around the world where we are having outbreaks of coronavirus. And we just pray for those affected, but also for those who feel a shadow over their lives, an uncertainty that this may be coming their way. We pray that one day the sun may rise on a world that does not have war built into its economy, and that one day the sun may set on a different way of dealing with our differences, so that the dividend of peace may outweigh the dividend of war. And we remember those who whip up conflict, who try to bring separation between humans, who hold up nationality as of more importance than our common humanity. Oh Lord, may we see that better world. God of love and power, we pray for your church in this community and throughout the world, that through the courage and faith of your people, your word may be preached and lived. And we pray for our community, our country, and the nations of the world, that following the ways of truth and justice, they may be free from bitterness and strife, and by the power of your love, live in peace. We pray for all who are in any kind of trouble, that those who are sick may be cared for, those who are lonely given company, those who are oppressed strengthened, those who mourn comforted, and those who are close to death may know their risen Lord. And we remember those folks who weigh most heavy on our own hearts, those close to us who are going through their own time of trial. And we give thanks for those faithful departed, especially those known to us who have entered into the joy and peace of your nearer presence. Grant that we may follow their example and come to share with them the glory of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit is worshipped and glorified forever. Amen. Now we sing, Be Thou My Vision. Susan's going to come out and read for us.
The reading this morning is from Matthew 16, 13 to 20 from the New International Bible. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Amen.
Thanks for that, Susan. Now, before we sing the hymn, I've got another intimation. And I don't know whether anyone goes to this, but it's very popular and very well supported. The get-together lunch will be held in Ardeer Church Hall on Wednesday the 5th of February from 12 till 2. So if you go along, you'll be most welcome. Now we sing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." Thank you. Now let's pray. Lord God, open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your love. Open our ears that we may hear the wonders of your glorious gospel. And open our hearts that we may be moved and changed and see the world in a new way through Christ. Amen. Now, I have a confession to make. That is, I like a murder. There may be some of you by this time thinking, we can believe that too. We can have that feeling welling up within us. However, if you restrain yourself just a little longer, it has to be in print. I have no interest in murders in real life. They're far too horrible, far too damaging to the folk who are affected by them. But in books, they are encapsulated. We are presented with them as an insight into human nature. So I really enjoy the great detectives. I really enjoy them in television as well. Even Midsummer Murders, which I find has a wonderful ability to put me to sleep. So I find that a very relaxing time. I'm very glad I don't live there. And it's the way the great detective logically researches all the angles to reach what turns out often to be a devastating and unforeseen conclusion. One of these detectives, although no longer around, but still in print, is Morse. Although he's probably not a person I would go get on with. But Morse discovers the secrets of others. And while he remorselessly seeks out the secrets of others, he has a secret himself that no one's allowed to know. And that secret's his name. He's happy to introduce himself as Morse. But even those who come closest to him are told, just call me Morse. And even when he's asked, why does it say E before Morse? That's just nothing I pay any attention to. But the remake of his series no longer has a mystery because it's called Endeavour. We now know what the E stands for. There is no longer a mystery about it. We're made privy to his secret, but he never reveals it to those outside the circle of viewers. Just call me Morse. Now, Jesus in our reading today is asking two questions. He's avoided the answer to these questions throughout his ministry. He's instructed anyone who has come close to say nothing of this. But his first question is, who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples' answer is no more or less than they would hear every day. Who is he who heals the sick? Who is he who casts out demons? Who is he who tells great crowds the innermost workings of God's mind? And if they know him from his past, then they'll call him Jesus of Nazareth, Joseph's son, the carpenter. If they haven't a clue, they think back to the great expectations of the faith, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah. But they have no idea who he really is. He never lets on. His disciples can't tell anyone, for they are not really sure either. Who do people say that I am? And we'll find this same question being answered in a way that suits our worldview and brings him down to size. Oh, he's a wandering preacher. He's a conspirator against the establishment. He's a miracle worker. Or he is the Lord of glory. He who was in the beginning and takes on flesh and blood, and who's the saviour of the world. So I'd like you to come with me on a journey through space and time to long ago, but seeing the world through the eyes of our present age, which we inevitably do. That's where we are, it's where we live, it's where we form our opinions. But see for a moment a group of dusty travellers on a Middle Eastern road, dressed in robes and sandals, wearing clothes on their head to protect them from the sun and wind, and they're trudging into the ancient region of Caesarea Philippi. What can they see? And what do they know of the lands they survey? But imagine for a moment, looking through their eyes, looking with eyes that can see beyond the horizons of space and time, look with them. And as they're on the top of this hill overlooking Caesarea Philippi, they look south and they see the holy city Jerusalem, an occupied territory overrun by Romans and a place of constant dispute and warfare. They see, if they look further, Jews and Muslims and Christians fighting over a land which each claims as holy in an exclusive and combative way. They hear in the distance the sounds of rockets fired by Hamas and missiles raining down from the Israeli army. How can a land of such bloodshed be a holy place? If they could only see, they would ask these questions. And with us, they would ask, is that what God desires from any religion? And he could look to the west through Lebanon and across the Mediterranean and feel the presence of the centre of the empire looming large, Rome, the signs of whose rule is all around them, and the empire reaching its tentacles into all the parts of the world that they know. And since then, this empire has been an example for kings and empire builders through the ages. An example that conquering others is the way to establish peace. The Pax Romana, the Pax America, the Pax who knows what's next. An idea grounded in conquering and spilling blood. And if they were able to look further west, they would see another world empire, which claims to be no such thing. Divide up their land in a way that divides people one from another, and which will be a source of further bloodshed. But they don't know that. They can't look that far. But turning to the north, they look through Turkey, the great seat of the Ottoman Empire and trading centre, the home of the Orthodox patriarchs in time to come, a reminder of the conglomerate that the church can be. And looking further beyond the Black Sea, there's Ukraine, another disputed territory of our time. And then as they look around, they're left to question, who do people say that I am? And we're left to question, Who do people say that I am? As the church dwindles away in our day and age. And meanwhile, the combatants of their combatants fire relentlessly, hoping that their next bullet will make their lives better. But the same question must be asked again and again. Does a shot fired in anger ever make the world a better place? And now these folks standing, overlooking Caesarea Philippi, the great city of rule. But now they turn to the east, looking across the deserts and plains. They see into Syria. And if they're looking through our eyes, they witness a flood of refugees coming from a war-torn country. Camps filled with the flotsam and jetsam of humanity, desperately clinging to their lives after their country has been destroyed. And beyond, there's Iraq, where there's still so much conflict going on. And we're left to ask, will the conflict ever end? And now they have the further threat of the shadow of Iran and its quest for nuclear power. Who do people say that I am? If these dusty, tired men, and they were all men of ancient times, could see all of history unfolding all around the world, would they be as deeply disheartened and disillusioned with humanity as we can be? And yet I remember that in the moment in which they lived, they experienced that same life. For the cruelty of Rome was the peace they knew. And yet these are a group of men filled with hope. They've seen miracles, they've heard teaching that has changed their worlds. They're simple men, ordinary people, fishermen, tax collectors, and sinners who've captured a vision that maybe, just maybe, God's intention is love and not judgment, healing and not retribution, forgiveness and not punishment. And their leader has dared to cross boundaries of race and class and gender and caste. He's even healed those whom he described as dogs, not fit to eat at the master's table. But this ragtag group ascending a hill and come to a point where they can see clearly for miles around, to the north, the south, the east and the west. So why do they go on? Why do they still hope? And in an enemy territory to them, confronted by the complexity of politics and religion and power, they stand on a hill and their master turns to them and asks, who do people say the Son of Man is? And then he asks a further question, who do you say that I am? And one of them, a leader of the others, dares to answer with words which echo through the ages. What's in a name? Everything. Because he is claiming that Jesus is the one a whole people has been waiting for. And did they but know it, a whole world was crying out for the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And this man, Jesus, a Jew by birth, claimed by Christians as God's son, honored by Muslims as a prophet, recognized by historians as a man of great compassion and teaching, makes this exclusive claim, a claim which rather than meant to divide was meant to open out the reality that the sectarianism and violence of our world and our decisions and our mistakes as human beings are not the end in sight for God. For the hope for these tired men standing in this dusty hell of humanity is that the one whom they are standing with is going to make everything different. That in him, God will reconcile the world with its creator. And we as human beings will learn to love one another. For we hope in things we cannot see. And that even those who walked on the road with him could not see. But let's continue to hope and to expose ourselves to God's love, which conquers hate and refuse to respond to violence with more violence. Who do you say that he is? Is he the one who will change the world, fulfilling human destiny now and forever? Or is he just a great teacher of long ago whose time has come and passed? And has the world moved on too far? But only if we can see through the mists of centuries and listen to the word of God will we find that he is the one we are searching for, the answer to the problems of the world. Not some more shrouding his identity behind his surname, but always solving his mystery, never revealing what his name is. But Christ opens a world of possibilities once we know who he really is and what he can do for us, not just in the world that we create, but in his death and resurrection for us, for you, for me. So the challenge of hearing these people speaking so long ago and answering the question their way, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? We're facing that same question. How do we respond? Amen. Thanks be to God for this preaching of his word. Now glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Now we're going to sing, Lord, for the years. Thank you. Now go in peace. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and in Christ Jesus, his Son, our Lord, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore.